Thank you for joining us to hear Brother Tommy Ledford and Brother David Clark with The Truth Ministries on the air every Sunday morning at 8:30 here on AM 600 and 101.1 FM WBOB. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome again to The Truth Ministries. This is David Clark. I'm so glad to be with you today. Thank you for all for joining us from Facebook, from the internet, on the webpage, from on the radio, around the world, wherever you are. Thank you. You are welcome here today. I'm so glad to be here. I have something to share with you today, and I want to say that I share everything that I say with you from a heart of love. And because I'm concerned with the souls of those that listen, over conversations this past week has come to my attention that there are folks that listen to this program. I had no idea that listened, that watch all over the place, acquaintances and friends from a long time ago, family members I haven't seen, people at work, everywhere. And I appreciate that. But it's caused a deeper burden on my heart that the message of this program is so far reaching. And I was praying, I asked the Lord, what can I say? What can I say that would make any difference, that would be relevant, that would help people of all different walks of life, all different religious persuasions? And the message that I feel like the Lord has put in my heart, not just for today, but for every week, for every sermon, every church service, everywhere I go, is to simply preach Christ, to simply preach Christ that all men may know that He is the Messiah, that He is the Savior of the world. I want to talk about something this morning that's a little bit unpopular. I want to talk about an aspect of our Christian walk that is not so well discussed in churches anymore. It's not popular, but I must tell the truth. I've told you that before. This is The Truth Ministries. You know, the prison ministry that we run is called the Word of Truth Ministries. And I just feel like that if we're going to call it that, we ought to tell the truth. So I must tell you the truth today. I'm going to preach a little holiness to you. So you just bear with me today. Romans chapter number 6. I'm going to be going through this chapter this morning, so you just keep your Bibles open if you have them with you. Romans chapter number 6, and I want to say while we're getting ready or turning there, I want to say that if you do not have a home church, now don't leave your church or make your pastor mad, but if you don't have a home church, you are most welcome at Bethel Holiness Church, 5032 Woodcrest Road, behind Ernie Palmer Toyota on Cassett. And we have a pastor as of Tuesday night, Pastor David Capps, and he will welcome you. Him and Sister Regina would welcome you to our services Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, Sunday night, 7 o'clock, and Wednesday night, 7:30. I want to put that out there and tell everybody that you are welcome at Bethel Holiness Church. We'd love to see you. Come and find us. We'll save you a seat. Romans chapter number 6. I'm going to start in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, we could stop right there with that verse, and we could preach an entire message on that one verse. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that make like as Christ, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Again, that's another message, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves, be dead to sin, indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants unto uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. I believe the writer here was saying, just as much as you served the devil while you was in sin, now that you're born again, you ought to serve God just as strong. You ought to serve God with just as much fervency. You ought to serve God with just as much excitement as you did when you were out in that world. Somebody help me this morning. It's going to get worse. Y'all hold on. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness at the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Know ye not, brethren, I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over man as long as he liveth. We're going to stop there. I want to emphasize this morning to you that it is very clear to me that the message of holiness and sanctification is not popular. I'm aware of that. I don't need anybody to email me, call me, write me, or send me text messages telling me that I ought to soften the message a little bit in order to gain popularity. I did not come here for popularity, but I did come here to tell you the truth. I came here today to let somebody know that if you are going to serve Christ and you're going to make heaven your home, you are going to have to be dead to sin. You're going to have to live a life that is holy unto God. It still takes right living in order to make heaven your home today. There are a lot of people that are going to teach you a lot of different things, and they're going to say things to you like, well, now we're under grace, and well, God's a God of love, and well, God doesn't require that anymore, and God doesn't have that standard of living anymore. Friends, if God ever had that standard of living, he still has that standard of living. He said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. The word of God is infallible. It'll last forever. It never changes. This word of God is forever. And if this word of God says that we have to be sinless, then friends, we've got to be sinless today. I want to talk about this because it is so rampant in the church today that the churches are promoting a lifestyle of sinfulness, and they're still calling it salvation. They're still calling it righteous living. I don't know where they got this doctrine from other than the pits of hell, but I want to tell you that the true church of Jesus Christ is going to take a stand against sin. The church of Jesus Christ is going to be a church that shines the light of the gospel on sin. They will always take a stand against sin. There is no place in the heart of a believer to entertain and to host sin. It will never be a subject of discussion, but it will always be a thing of horror when a person realizes there is sin in their life, as the Bible calls it sin. It is very clear today, if you read these scriptures in Romans 6 that we've just read, that sin is not tolerated in the heart of a believer. It is not tolerated. We are dead to sin. We've been risen with Christ in his resurrection, in our resurrection from sin, and we walk in the newness of life now as Jesus Christ has made us free. There is no place in the heart of a man who serves God to entertain sin. It just will not happen. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road today. A lot of churches are teaching you that it's all right to sin, that it's okay if you have a sin nature, that it's all right and that it's normal for folks. We're just all imperfect people serving a perfect God. We're all just sinners that are saved by grace. But I want to tell you that there ain't no sinners going to heaven this morning. I said there ain't no sinners going to heaven. If we make it inside those gates, it's going to be because we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been cleansed from all sin, and we live on purpose a life that is holy and that is sinless, empowered by the Holy Ghost to live free from sin today. Now, this scripture is very plain. It really doesn't even need any commentary when you read Romans chapter 6 that we've just read, but I'm going to do my best anyways. Because as a holiness preacher, as someone who believes the word of God, I must tell you the truth this morning, and the truth is going to make us free today, okay? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? A lot of folks today are claiming salvation, but I want to tell you that if you've ever been by the cross of Calvary and you've ever died out to sin and been born again, if you've ever been washed in the blood of Jesus, you're going to be dead to sin. I mean, sin is not going to have a place in your life. You're going to be repulsed by sin. Sin is going to be sickening unto you. You ain't going to want no part of it, because sin is the very opposite of the nature of Christ. And when Christ saves us, he imparts his nature into us. We are therefore grafted into his body. I am a part of the body of Christ today. If you're born again, you are a part of the body of Christ today. And in his body, there is no room for sin. Now, this does not mean that we're going to be mean and hateful to everybody that doesn't believe like we do. It doesn't mean that we're going to point our judgmental fingers in people's faces and tell them that they're all going to hell and they're nothing but rank sinners. But I believe on an individual basis, I have a responsibility to live a life that is free from reproach, live a life that is above sin, live a life that lets this world know that there is still a church, there is still a body of Christ, there is still a group of believers who refuse to bow at the altars of sin. We refuse to worship any other God. We refuse to let sin reign in this body. We refuse to be conformed into the image of this secular God, this God of Hollywood, this God of politics, God of every other thing besides the true God. Listen, I want to tell you today that sin will not reign in the heart of someone who loves God. Sin won't reign there. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are called to a life of holiness, called to a life that is dead to sin. How can we operate in sin if we are dead to sin? I want to tell some people this morning that if you're still sinning after you supposedly got born again, if you're still consciously making decisions to participate in voluntary sin, you've not been born again. I know that's hard. I know people don't like to hear those words, but this Bible right here tells me how we're going to live in sin after he supposedly brought us out of sin. I want to tell you that if you get good and born again, if Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, you're going to walk above sin. You're going to be living that life that Jesus lived. You're not going to have some preacher tell you every Sunday morning that it's a sin to lie and a sin to steal. You're going to know that you can't sin and you can't steal and lie and cheat and cuss and party and all those things that you used to do. You're not going to want to do those things because now Christ lives on the inside, and Christ is holy. And just like he is holy, we're going to be holy. That's just how it is. There is no compromise when it comes to sin, folks. There can be no persuasion here. There can be no room for debate. The Church of Jesus Christ must take a stand against sin. Right now in the political arena, right now on a worldwide scale, you're seeing churches and denominations cave under the pressure from Hollywood, under the pressure from the rich elite, all because they want their agenda furthered, and they don't want a church, a body of believers, to stand against that. That's why homosexuality is prevalent right now. That's why there are churches who are ordaining ministers in the homosexual lifestyle to reside over their body of believers there. I want to tell you that the spirit of Antichrist is so prevalent right now in this last hour, and folks are living a lifestyle that is contrary to this word of God. We need to get back to the Bible basics, friend, and abstain from the very appearance of evil. Abstain from everything that this word of God calls sin, friend. It's going to be a holy way. It's going to be a straight way. My pastor used to say, it is tight, but it is right. My God, if there's ever been a true statement, that's a true statement. It's going to be uncomfortable sometimes when you have to break away from crowds of people and say, I'm sorry, but I cannot fellowship in this atmosphere. I'm sorry, but I cannot listen to this conversation. I'm sorry, but I cannot participate in this family outing because of the things going on here. Because above all else, I must keep myself in right standing with God. I must take a stand against this life of sin, and every day I've got to decide that I'm going to take up my cross and follow him. Know ye not that so many of us, we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. People come to Christ because it's propagated now. Come to Jesus, live your best life now. Come to Jesus, it's the blessed life. Come to Jesus, your destiny awaits you. Come to Jesus, everything will be better. Everything will be easier. All of a sudden, you're going to prosper. All of a sudden, you're going to have your every need met. All of a sudden, everything's going to be hunky-dory. I never read that in the Bible. I never read where Jesus had everything he needed. I never read where he had the best job. I never read where he had 4 automobiles. I never read where he had the best garments to wear. But I did read where everywhere he went, people hated him. I did read where they crucified him because he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God. He preached that he was the Messiah. He preached that heaven was for the holy. He preached righteousness, and they hated him for it. That's what I read. I read that Jesus preached this gospel. He preached heaven. He preached hell, and everyone around him hated him for it. Friends, it's not going to be an easy thing to serve God in this last hour. If you couldn't serve him when the going was good, If you couldn't serve him whenever Hollywood was silent, if you couldn't serve God whenever everybody was for you, listen, you're not going to be able to serve God in this last hour unless you get an experience with him. It's going to take more than just you showing up for church once every so often. It's going to take more than you just only hearing the word of God when Brother David's on the radio, only hearing the word of God whenever you flip the TV on, somebody's reading it to you, listen to it on an audiobook or something. Listen, you're going to have to get in this word of God. You're going to have to know what thus saith the Lord. You're going to have to visit the prayer closet. It's going to take the church being the church. Listen, there is so much power available for God to pour out on his people in this last hour. There is such a latter rain that God wants to give us to empower us to accomplish great and mighty feats for him. But the church is so stagnant and weak. The church is so lukewarm because of this right here. We have allowed sin to creep in. We have allowed sin to cut off the flow of the Holy Ghost from the sanctuary. God will not move in the middle of sin, friends. I said God will not move in the middle of sin. I say it all the time, and if God will be my help, I'm going to say it until I die. The Holy Ghost is not going to live in no duplex. He ain't going to sublet a room out in the house and let the enemy dwell in there with him. He's going to occupy the premises. It's going to be God or nothing. It's going to be Jesus or nothing. The Holy Ghost or nothing. He will not dwell where sin abounds. And I want to tell you that sin is rampant in the church today. Sin is rampant in the church today. Well, I told y'all starting out that this was not going to be popular, but I got to preach holiness or God's going to hold me accountable when I stand before him. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, walking in the newness of this blessed life that Jesus has brought us into, walking in the fullness of the gospel. I love walking in this gospel way. I love living a life of holiness. I love living a life that is consecrated to God. It's a clean life. It's a blessed life. It's not always popular. I've had to turn away some friends. I've had to cut down my Facebook friends list. I've had to cut down my real life friends list. I've had to separate myself from some family members. I've had to withdraw from some conversations. I've had to separate myself from some church folks. Isn't that sad? But I'm telling you that we've got to do what we've got to do to live a life that is holy unto God. I'm not going to stand before somebody else for somebody else's work. I'm going to stand before God for what I've done. I'm going to give an account for David Clark. And it terrifies me to think that I can live any old way that I wanted to and then get before God at that judgment seat and then say, Lord, I thought the Bible said I could do what I wanted to. I thought the Bible said we were under grace. My pastor said this. My preacher said that. I saw one on TV that said this. He's going to say, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. What is iniquity? It is sin. You that work sin, depart from me, I never knew you. I want to tell you today, you're going to have to be free from sin. If you're listening to this message this morning, I'm going to stop right here just for a minute. If you're listening all around the world, wherever you are in this great big world, listening by internet, radio, or live stream, whatever it may be, I want to tell you that Jesus died for your sin. I want to tell you that it is possible for you to go to heaven. In fact, he prepared a place for you to go. He prepared a place for you. He wants you there with him. He died for for you, but God will not tolerate sin. He sent his only son to curse sin. He sent his only son to put away sin and death. And whenever he calls us out of sin and bondage into his marvelous life. And he expects us to walk therein, but not just to pray one time, then live vicariously however we want to. He calls us to live the life of Christ, which is crucified to this world, which is a life of death, which is a life of consecration, and God will accept nothing less. He'll accept nothing less today. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. Let me read you some commentary here. In chapter 6, Paul challenges the erroneous idea that believers may continue in sin and yet remain secure in Christ because of the grace of God. Paul answers this distortion of the doctrine of grace by emphasizing one truth. True believers are identified as being in Christ by virtue of their being baptized into Christ and into his death so that their old life of sin is buried. That means when you come to Christ, whenever you get in that altar or that place of prayer and you emerge from there, saved and washed in the blood of Jesus, you've laid down the old man, you will come up in the resurrection and the newness of Christ, you've come up as he came out of the grave, leaving death and sin all behind, never to return again, never to go back to that life again, never to turn your back on God again, but to follow him in holiness, to follow him in righteous living. Let me read you some more here. Verse number 15 says, "What then shall we sin? Because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Those not committed to Christ's lordship and not opposed to sin's dominion in their personal lives have no right to speak of Christ as their Savior." Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Listen, those not committed to Christ's lordship and not opposed to sin's dominion in their personal lives have no right to speak of Christ as their Savior. Listen, a lot of folks today name the name of Christ. A lot of folks name the name of Christ, but here is the true test. Here is the true test, because a lot of people are turned away from religion. They're turned away from Christianity because of the hogwash going on in churches today, because of the false representation of Christ, the false example of Christianity that's in the church today. This is it right here. Those who are not committed to Christ's lordship, that means he has the dominion over your life, and those that are not opposed to sin's dominion in their personal lives have no right to speak of Christ as their Savior. That means if you still live a lifestyle of sin, you got no business saying Jesus is Lord of your life because you're telling a lie. If Jesus saved you, if you've been born again, the world's going to know you're born again because your life is going to line up with this Bible because of all the fruit of the Spirit that he gives us. The evidence that Jesus is Lord is going to be present in your life. If you're always talking about your neighbor, always running folks down, always giving a false witness, always lying, stealing and cheating, and you name the name of Christ, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. He ain't Lord of your life. We need to go back to the altar and pray until Jesus saves us and delivers us from that old lifestyle, because when Jesus is Lord, we're going to give an example and a testimony of him to this world. Everybody around us ought to be able to know there's something different about us. Not that we're judgmental, not that we're hateful, not that we point our fingers or look down our nose at folks, but that they can feel the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ in our everyday life. That is what it's going to take, friends. We got to be proper witnesses for Jesus. I love you. I'm out of time today. I want to tell you that if you don't have a church, Bethel Holiness Church on the west side, Woodcrest Road over there. We would love to have you today, Pastor Capps. We'd love to see you. Come and be with us 11 o'clock if you don't have a church. God bless you. I'll be back here next week. Y'all come back and be with us. I love you. I'm praying for you. God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to hear Brother Tommy and Brother David this Sunday. Follow them on the web at www.thetruthministries.us, where you'll find information about their prison ministry, tent meetings, and preaching points. Thank you, and may God bless you.
You want information and insight? We've got it. The Dennis Prager Show at noon at W.